share a little bit concerning the subject of the comforter. Last week, Rube shared on the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the fellowship before that. We went over Christ died, did about the crucifixion. This is chronologically, right, the time period we're in now is similar to the time period that we're going to read today. But it was a very difficult time for those believers going through the last couple days of Jesus Christ's life. It was hard to understand. It was troubling in their hearts. Things weren't fitting together. And it all started when he started saying what we're going to read here in Mark chapter 8, verse 31. It says, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly. Now this is shocking to them. Here's how shocking it was. Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine? Peter said, hey, no way, Jesus. Verse 33, but when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. Men. The word savors is the word for think about. So this saying shocked Peter to the point where Peter said, hey, no way, Jesus, you can't be doing this. And then Jesus Christ rebuked him, saying, you know, that's not what God's word says. Because the scriptures do refer to Jesus Christ, as we read in and have read many times in Isaiah 53 about he will bear our burdens, he will die, they will be beaten. And so he's now bringing it up, and it's just shocking to them. And part of the reason for this is that how they understood Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Redeemer, what they saw was jaw-dropping miracles that Jesus Christ performed. You know, he turned water into wine. He fed thousands of people with a little bit of food. He changed the raging seas into calm seas, you know, stopping those winds. He raised people from the dead. Just incredible things. And then they saw the healings that he did, the volume of healings, the many types of healings. You know, he healed people from fevers. He healed people from leprosy. He healed people from little colds. He healed people that were blind, that couldn't walk, that couldn't hear, that couldn't talk. And nobody had done healings in the volume that he had done. He would go into villages, as we've read and we've seen in the Gospels, and everybody that approached him for needing healing got healed. Just, they saw that. They were eyewitnesses of it. And there are many instances where it says they were astounded with a great astonishment. I mean, just their minds were blown at what they were seeing. So for them to hear Jesus say, hey, they're going to get me, and they're going to beat me, and they're going to kill me. This is just shocking to their head, to their thinking. They saw him as this all-powerful, all-loving, fearless man that could... nothing could stop him. Whatever it was he wanted to do, he did. Of course, it was all according to the will of God. But that's what they were seeing. And now to understand that you're going to die, it was their thinking, their understanding hadn't been there. There were some covers over their eyes, so to speak, as far as those truths. And it took a while for them to figure this out. But they did figure it out. And on the night of the Last Supper, and then they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and that's where he was captured. Jesus Christ went over a lot of different truths. And one of them, which caught my attention a lot this past couple weeks, is the Comforter. Jesus Christ said there was going to be a Comforter that would come, and we're going to look at that. Let's go to John chapter 14. Four times in this short evening, that Jesus had the last evening with those believers before they apprehended him, he mentions about the Comforter and how timely that was. Here they're in very troubled times in their mind. They really aren't understanding what's going on. And Jesus Christ said, hey, you guys are going to get a Comforter. I'm going to be leaving here, but you guys are going to get a Comforter. And the first one's listed in chapter 14, verse 16. And it says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, and he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And then in verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And then in chapter 15, and this is, again, all the same evening, verse 26, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And then the last one is in chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. And if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So four times in that one evening, he mentions about the Comforter. So I'd just like to look at it in a little bit more detail. And to do so, we're going to go back to chapter 13. Chapter 13 is, part of it is dealing with the Last Supper. And one of the things that he did was that he washed all their feet with water and dried them with his towel, which was a sign of great humility. And for him to do it as their master was just a total flip on what the world would expect out of a leader. So he knew his time was short, and there were a lot of things that he shared with them, and the Comforter being one of them. So we're going to pick it up in verse 33. It's just after Judas had left to go betray him. And verse 33 says, little children, and this is the only place in the Gospels where Jesus is recorded that Jesus Christ referred to them as little children. And in part, it's showing their dependence upon him. And that's what little children are dependent upon their parents, whether they think they need it or not. But children are dependent upon their parents. So little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, where I go, you cannot go. So now I say to you, and this is shocking news to them. It's like, whoa, where are you going? Verse 36, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, whither I go, you can't follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And this is just, again, shocking to them that they were with him for all this time during his ministry, seeing all these incredible things. And now he's saying, hey, I'm leaving. And they're like, whoa, 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 where are you going? Just no way. Verse 37, Peter said unto them, Lord, why can't I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice or three times. And it just shows the weakness of people, Peter being one of them. His desire and willingness was to just, he's going to, wherever Jesus Christ is going, I'm going with you. If that means I'm going to die, I'll die. The truth was, he was going to deny him right away. You know, he just faltered. You know, that's the way mankind is. But so it's just showing the troubling times. Verse 14, chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You know, don't get shook on all this. Ye believe in me, believe also in God, believe also in me. the phrase in the middle, ye believe in God, most translations have it as believe in God. It's written in the imperative imperative case in the Greek, and it's actually a command, not a statement. And so that's why it's translated many times, believe in God. And that was what they needed to do in order for their hearts not to be troubled. Verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. The word mansion sometimes is translated as rooms. And the Greek word, basically its meaning is, it's an abiding place, a dwelling, a place to abode, a staying place. It's you know, in a modern translation, maybe it would be, my father's got many condos or many apartments or many houses. You know, it's just a place to abide, a place to abode. And the only other place in the Bible this word is used is in verse 23 of the same chapter. It says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And the word abode there is the same word as mansions. You know, it's a place to abide. Like we may love somebody and may say, you know, you have a place in my heart type of thing, or that person dwells in my heart. It's that type of essence. So, verse 3. And I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know not the way you go. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? You know, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? Believest not thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father, or my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If he shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. So he's showing them a lot of things. And verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The word comforter is, in other translations, it's translated sometimes as helper, as counselor, as guider, comforter. Many different ways that it's translated. But it is, it's not just like put your arms around the person and hug them, comfort. It can give information, it can guide, it helps, it deals with a presence. And see this, verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. This comforter, whatever it is, it says it's the Spirit of truth, really the gift of Holy Spirit, will be in them, and it will replace the presence of Jesus Christ. and their hearts were very troubled that Jesus Christ was going to get beat up and he was going to die. He wouldn't be with them anymore. He was going to go to some place with the Father and be left alone. And so he's saying, oh, you're going to get a comforter. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And the word comfortless is the word for orphan. I will not leave you guys orphans. I'm not going to head out of here and leave you alone. Verse 19, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live. You shall also live. Because I live, you shall also live. Or live also. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. That's pretty big. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. That's the dwelling. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will know, love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. It sounds like God in Christ in you. We've heard that for many years. God in Christ in you. How often that was emphasized through the years, that it's God in Christ in you. And here in his last night with these apostles and disciples, four times he says, look, I'm leaving. And I gotta leave because this is part of the plan of redemption. It's what the scriptures talk about. But you're not gonna be left orphaned, and you're gonna get the promise from the Father, which is this comforter. And we'll be in you. It'll be, you know, like when Jesus Christ was there, there weren't that many people around him. It was limited. Wherever Jesus Christ wasn't, his presence wasn't there. But when Christ is in every believer, wherever that believer is, wherever we are, there's Christ, which is quite wonderful. Verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Let's go to chapter 15, verse 26. We'll read that again. It says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And chapter 16, verse 5 again. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you ask me whither thou goest. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come. all these words of he and him and himself, those things, they're all in the neuter in the Greek. So it really literally could be, howbeit when it, the spirit of truth has come, it will guide you into all truth. For it shall not speak of itself, but whatsoever it shall hear, that shall it speak, and it will show you all things to come. And that's how the Spirit of God works. This God communicates the Spirit of God in us. The Spirit of God in us teaches our minds, and then we have the information, which is just really wild what he's sharing with these guys. In a time where they're seeing this man that could do no wrong, that had done things that nobody on earth had ever done. They were eyewitnesses, front row, seeing it all right in front of them. And then one day he says, you know, I'm not going to be here very long. They're going to beat the heck out of me, and they're going to kill me. Just shocking news. And now he's saying, hey, I'm leaving tonight. My bags are packed, you know? And they're just upset. And he says, but wait, there's going to be a comforter, and you're going to get it. And it will be your dwelling place where God in Christ dwells. So, just amazing. Let's go to John chapter 20. This comforter was to replace the presence of Jesus Christ on earth for God's people. And it's this gift of Holy Spirit. And so it's supposed to have an effect, a positive effect on our lives. Jesus Christ was telling them about the comforter coming to help them to not be troubled during that period of time. And this is right after the ascension, right after the resurrection. I think Rube read this scripture last week. We're going to pick it up in verse 19. It says, then the same day, the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. So they were locked down, not because of a virus, but they were locked down because of fear of the Jews, of what had just happened. They just saw their Lord and Savior, who they looked at as the most powerful man on earth, have everything beat out of them and put on a cross, the most shameful way of dying, and then buried. And nobody other than what we understand is Joseph of Arimathea. He's the only guy that expected Jesus Christ to get raised from the dead. He's the one that provided the tomb, remember? And he's the one that wrapped him really quickly as a temporary wrapping for a burial, because he said, yeah, he's getting up. All the other ones were like shocked when they heard the news he's alive. Some of them totally denied it, said there's no way he's alive. So they're bound by fear here behind closed doors because of fear of the Jews. So, and then Jesus arise, verse 20, and when he had said, so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And the word them is in italics, so it could be removed because it wasn't in the text. So it would say, and he breathed on. And the word on is also translated many times, same word, as in. He breathed in. And what he was doing, as we know, is he was teaching them how in the near future they would be able to receive the gift of Holy Spirit, which was this comforter. So let's go to Luke chapter 24. So Jesus Christ was preparing them to understand about the gift of Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the promise that was from God Almighty that would abide with them. And this is on the day of Ascension, verse 49 of chapter 24. Jesus Christ speaking, and it says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He had told them to go to Jerusalem and then that they and to wait for this promise of the Father. And the word endued, as we know, is the word for clothed with. It's to completely encapsulate, so to speak, with power from on high. So he's directing them, okay, go to Jerusalem and wait. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. This comforter was to have an effect on their lives. If it was going to replace the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth, it's got to be some big time stuff. It can't be just this little drop in the bucket that means nothing. And it's got to have a mark on Christians, believers' lives. Chapter 1, verse 4, this is right the day of this ascension, as we know, and Jesus Christ is with his apostles for the last time on earth. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. It's just really wonderful. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So they were instructed to go and wait in Jerusalem, of which they did, and then 10 days later was the day of Pentecost, which we know what happened then. The original outpouring of the gift of Holy Spirit, and they spoke in tongues, and first time that men and women could get born again of God's Spirit, the Comforter had arrived. Chapter 5, 2 Corinthians, verse 19. Says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Remember, Jesus Christ said to those disciples, God is in me, I'm in God, and then we're going to make our abode in you, and we will be in you. A lot of exchanges. So Colossians, a very familiar verse of scripture. Verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's all part of that comforter, that we would have Christ in us, the indwelling Spirit of God in us. And could it be any better? I mean, it would have been wonderful to see the Lord Jesus Christ in that day and time, and see those miracles and see those healings. But we have him abiding in us. Christ is in every person that's born again. And it's just so big. It's absolutely so big. And yet, many times people get born again and there's no change in their life. And it's because they don't know what they have and they don't utilize what they have. I was thinking this morning of the illustrations, and the goofiest one I could think of is that if somebody needed money to pay their bills and a friend of theirs got wind of it and deposited $1 million into their bank account without telling the person, they still wouldn't be able to pay their bills because they don't know the money's there to use. But if they knew the money was there, they could write out some checks. They could say, holy smokes, look at this. bank error in my favor. Is this a bank error? But you know, but you couldn't use it if you didn't know it was there. And many times Christians get born again. Like I got born again sometime when I was a boy. I had no clue of what had happened. None. My life went on just as goofy as it was then. It just kept going on, you know. But we have the Comforter, what Jesus Christ called the Comforter in the Gospel of John, we have God in Christ in us, the hope of glory. So wherever he is, or wherever we are, he is. Just incredible. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. The indwelling presence of the Spirit of God has got to be the biggest thing man can ever have experienced and enjoy. Chapter 2, verse 22 of Ephesians, referring to the body of Christ, and it says, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. A habitation through God, or habitation of God through the Spirit. We are God's dwelling place. And God is in Christ, and Christ is in us. Literally, his dwelling place. Chapter 1, verse 23. Again, referring to the body of Christ, it says, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Every believer is filled with all that's available to be filled with. The point is, we're filled. There's something that filled us. We went to the gas station and got a full tank of gas. Chapter 3, verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that he might be filled with all, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. Just great. It's just unbelievable. And what Jesus Christ was trying to do with those disciples back in the garden, on the way to the garden, to say, hey, I'm going. Don't get troubled. This is part of what is supposed to happen, but there's going to be a comforter that's going to be sent, and those that love God and love me are going to get that comforter. And this is the reality of it. Let's go back to Acts. We're going to look at Acts chapter 2. Remember I said that it's got to have an impact on our lives. To have something that big, to have no impact on our lives would be really weird. You put your hand on a hot stove, you're going to have, there's going to be an impact, unless you can't feel anything. Not necessarily a good impact, but there's an impact on your life. Chapter 2 of Acts 14. Remember we read about the disciples were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. Here it is, only 10 days later. And the day of Pentecost, they received, the apostles received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And people are wondering, what the heck is going on? And Peter stands up in verse 14 of chapter 2. It says, but Peter standing up with the 11, same guys that were really scared 10 days earlier, lifted up his voice and said unto them, and to them, the Jews were there. So the people they were scared of, now he's going to speak boldly to. Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. And then he gives information concerning the Spirit of God that promised in the, by the prophet Joel. And then we go to verse 38, the end of his preaching. It says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as our Lord our God should call. That definitely had an impact on Peter's life and those apostles. They stood as one unit, speaking boldly to those Jews. Let's go to, lastly, to chapter 4. And you can go through the early book of Acts and you can see these men were bold. They were no longer full of fear. They were no longer bound by fear. And the change was that they received the gift of Holy Spirit. Definitely an impact. Chapter 4, they had spoken a word because they had healed this man that couldn't walk, had never walked. And they spoke the word very boldly to them. Then they got apprehended because the religious leaders didn't like what they were hearing. Verse 10. Let me pick it up. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, that this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And he's talking to the very people that had Jesus Christ orchestrated to have Jesus Christ killed. Verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. There was something that majorly changed in John and Peter here from 10 days before. 10 days before, Jesus Christ was endeavoring to get them out of fear and showing them how to receive the gift of Holy Spirit. Then 10 days later, it was the day of Pentecost, and this is not too many days after that. And they marveled. They said, holy moly. Maybe some other words too. But they were shocked that these men could be like this. And what was the difference? They received the gift of the Holy Spirit and started utilizing it. Verse 14. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. And I love this. This is the back, behind the doors, back scene of all these politicians, so to speak. Here's what they say to themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. So here's cards on the table. Everybody knows he did a miracle. We can't deny it. What are we going to do? Verse 17, but if that is spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that they should henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shown. And then they get with the other believers and they pray, and some great things happen. But look at the impact on those men's lives, receiving the gift of Holy Spirit. So when they heard of the promise back in the on the route to the Garden of Gethsemane, that the Comforter would come, they didn't quite understand what it was all about then, but they certainly started gaining an understanding after the day of Pentecost, and really started moving with the things of God. And so anybody that's a Christian, this stuff should be going on in their lives, utilizing the gift of Holy Spirit, operating in the manifestations, walking with great power, walking with great understanding, with peace, with protection. And it's a mark, you know, and then being able to love with the love of God, you know, that we're to love like Christ loved the church. That'd be the type of love that we have. Nobody can love like that if they don't have the Spirit of God in them, because it's a spiritual love. So it's a big deal that Spirit has come. And remember, Jesus Christ said, you know, if I don't go, that Comforter is not being sent. Because the whole thing had to be where he ascended to the Father, and then there was the outpouring of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Had he not done his part in there, they would have been stuck. So thankfully they did it, and they figured it out. And we today, this day, 2,000 some years ago, or later, we're still enjoying, mankind is still enjoying the greatness of the Spirit of God. And who knows how long that will be. It might be 10 million more years before he comes back. But the days that we're on this earth, we can enjoy it and walk it and live it and just be comforted with that comfort. It's just a great thing. So it's a great mark of Christianity. And we're endeavoring to help people that are born again to get a knowledge of God's word greater than they've ever had before so they can utilize it. Just like at one time, somebody spoke the word of God to me and started saying, hey, you know, there's some things in God's word that you can apply. And though there are a lot of Christians out there, and many of them love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, they just don't know all of what is available to them. And so part of what we can do is just keep sharing God's word. And this is a great time because a lot of people are looking towards God and thinking about God and willing to listen. Really nice time. So that's if you can see them. So, but anyway, well, I love you all, and it's just wonderful to be able to get together, and I just so miss seeing each other. Now you open up the door, and it's an empty sidewalk, you know, but there'll be a day, not too far down the road.